over the last few years, one ongoing phenomenon in the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement is that quite large numbers of families, devotees, have settled or tried to settle, families from the West I'm talking about, tried to settle in Mayapur Dham. Families, especially from Russia, serious devotees, for sure, because it's not such an easy thing to get the visas, get the money. That's a lot of the difficulty of getting the money and then adjusting to a different climate and so many things. But they want to go there, and they do go there. So many have gone to stay there for the spiritual facility of living in the dham with the incomparable atmosphere and wanting to get devotee association. So there are some very positive benefits from that. It hasn't been easy for many. Some have come back being unable to adjust in some ways, and for many it's difficult just from the monetary point of view, because it's a very artificial way to try to run a family if you're earning money in one country with your family living in another country and going up and down. And it's usually the men have to take the strain of the bringing in the income, and it hasn't always been feasible, although it's a noble attempt in many ways. Now, I always recommend to devotees from the West that if you can, spend some time in India, in the dhams or elsewhere, maybe even better away from the dhams, to get some exposure to the broader Indian culture. That Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, I want to give Indian culture to the whole world. And he wasn't talking about Bollywood, he was talking about the spiritual culture. So I'm a proponent of that. Not that everyone has to come and spend a long time, but especially young people, before they get married, if they can spend a little time, it can help to give a very broader perspective on Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is very central to the whole multifaceted Indian culture, whereas obviously it's not central to the culture in the West. And being in the West, you might tend to feel that you're part of some small cult or something like that. Whereas being in India, devotees are very generally welcomed and respected. And there are many things about the culture to learn also. One facet or effect of the ongoing coronavirus, which has altered the world in the last year, is that some devotees who wanted to take their family to India, who were planning and had been planning for some time, were not able to, and some were unable to sustain. And for this reason, they're not going, and they're not very happy about that. Well, maybe it's Krishna's plan always. Also, we should always try to see Krishna's plan in everything. When I was growing up in England, we often used to hear about the brain drain. It was an ongoing phenomenon in Britain at the time that people would go through the education system in Britain, all government-sponsored, everything from day one in the school up to university, as far as you could study in the university, you could go all the way up to PhD without having to pay anything. The government would arrange for all of that and even give students a stipend by which they can live. And it was a common phenomenon at that time that people would go through the whole education system and then go to America, where they could get paid considerably more than in Britain, using their talents and their qualifications. So, brain drain. The devotees, or devotee drain, you could say. It's not very good to talk about drain in relation to devotees, but devotees, they get inspiration in Krishna consciousness in one country, and then they go to another country. Now, that's good, can be good for preaching. I spent most of this life not in the country I was born in, which is also the country that I came to Krishna consciousness in, but elsewhere. So for preaching, all right, but we do also want, it's not that we want all devotees to leave and go to India, because Srila Prabhupada said, I want to give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. He wanted to have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And if all the most serious devotees leave, or a large number of them, leave the countries where they are presently, then their contribution in those countries will be lost. Now, often devotees want to go to Mayapur because they cite the lack of, well, of good spiritual communities in their own countries in the West, and especially the lack of Krishna-centered educational facilities for their children. Now, Krishna has a plan. He affects many things by one action. So, devotees could start to think, you don't have to go to India. Stay in your country and develop communities. That's another challenge. Now, educational facilities, it's going to be difficult, no doubt, because in many countries, they have the laws that you have to send your children to government-run schools where there's bad association and bad education. Now, that is not at all what parents, we hope, would want for their children. But if you can't raise your, if you can't take your children to Mayapur, then you're going to have to make adjust as well as you can in your own country. And it may be possible gradually to, it may not happen immediately, but it may be possible gradually to make some arrangement by making with the local authorities, or to put pressure on the governmental system, or request them, or whatever, to make facility for Krishna conscious education. It is allowed in some countries that homeschooling may be there, as long as they can pass the exams, which the local state education board set. So still you have to give them the education that you might want to give them. You might not want to give them, which you shouldn't want to give them, but at least you can teach them at home. But that usually means the mother has to invest a lot of energy in that. And different countries, they may allow devotees to themselves to organize schools, or in some places the devotees, if enough devotees get certified, legally certified as teachers, then they can organize their own school with Krishna in the center. So there are ways, it takes quite some effort and organization and a will to do it, but there are ways in which the present situation can be improved. And again, it depends. In different countries, there'll be different situations. But that may not be very, that might not sound very helpful or hopeful to those who want to I've got my children now. I can't wait one generation for things to improve or try to improve. But if Krishna puts you in that situation, then what can be done? If the farm communities, the village communities, if serious devotees in various countries get together, they may have to send their children to the local village school. But then if there are enough devotee families, then the local village school may be primarily devotee children. And working out the dynamics of that, you can speak to the local teachers. And in many countries nowadays, the people are a lot more broad-minded than they used to be when the Krishna Consciousness Movement, generally speaking, of course, but markedly also. People in general are more open-minded toward this Krishna Consciousness Movement than they were when it was first established in the West. So you don't have to go to India, and you may not be able to go to India, but you can continue your Krishna Conscious life in whatever country you're in. And we want devotees all over the world to practice Krishna Consciousness seriously in family life, and in this way set a good example and form for others and form communities. You may think that, well, it's the ISKCON authorities' duty to organize this, but if they don't, then grihasthas can get together themselves, two families can get together, five families, 20 families, or a small nucleus can get together, and if they do it nicely, then others will come. This was our experience in starting our farm communities here in India. Maybe it started about, I think, almost 10 years ago, that we just started with three families just to see if we could live on the land and live like that without electricity, and if we could do it. And the plan was to go for 2 years to see if we could do it, but then before the 2 years were up, there were so many others saying, hey, it's great, I want to take my family there and live with you like this. So sooner than that, we moved from the alpha stage to the beta stage. We expanded the community. So if we try, we'll see. Krishna will help. Struggle is going to be. This Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness in the modern age by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Eva Kivalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Very merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process, chanting the holy names. It's a very easy process, but it's still Kali Yuga in the world all around us, as you may have noticed. And it is a struggle. The Krishna Consciousness Movement isn't for lazy or uncommitted people. And yeah, people are lazy and uncommitted. They can come to the Sunday feast program, and not if there's a lockdown going on, but they can. Everyone is welcome, but for those who are really going to take it seriously and make a difference in their own lives, in the lives of their families, in the lives of their communities, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement around the world, and in the world, it's going to be those who are prepared to work, sacrifice, do whatever is required to do the needful, as Srila Prabhupada would say, to make the situation more favorable for Krishna consciousness. And for that, Srila Prabhupada, of course, he very much wanted these rural communities, varnashram communities, based on the principle of depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. And we have seen, as we're setting up our communities, and they're still very much in the pilot stage, that it is really a great boon for grihastha devotees and a great boon for the children, even materially. They grow up with fresh air and in nature, and they grow up among devotees. They see their role models are the Grihastha devotees who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. The curriculum is very much Krishna based. So we want to do this all over the world. So you don't have to go to India. If you can visit time to time, that's nice. Some of you may settle there. But in the pandemic situation, it's going to be not feasible for many. So wherever you are, take it up. Take up the mission of Srila Prabhupada. It's not just for a few sannyasis and brahmacharis. The majority of the world are not going to be sannyasis or brahmacharis. The majority of the world are going to be grihastha. So a lot of the mission depends on you. And Krishna consciousness means vairagya vidya. Who said that verse to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam. That was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a grihastha. So it's not that grihasthas are meant to live as austerely as sannyasis, if sannyasis are austere at all in these days. They may or may not be as learned, but vairagya vidya is for everyone, for grihasthas in devotional service. Devotional service means bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti ranyatra, living in experience of Krishna and being detached from everything else. So that's true for everything and everyone in devotional service. And vidya, without proper knowledge of Krishna, sambandha gyan, then our devotional service won't go on properly. So it's meant for everyone. And varnashram is meant for all the, everyone, every civilized person. It's not the goal of life, but it is helpful for progressing toward the goal of life. Varnashram means that you can practice, people can practice at different levels of devotion, at different levels. They may be more advanced, less advanced, but it's varnashram gives the practical, Krishna-based varnashram gives the practical means by which yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, kantaya, tat kurushma, madarpana, which we can do everything, say everything, everything we eat, any austerities, any charity, everything we can offer to Krishna. It gives the framework very easily and very clearly. Whereas if you're working in some company with some boss, and it's not so clear how we can offer everything to Krishna. It doesn't flow directly, because if you want to do everything for Krishna, then you can't. In the eyes of your boss, then you won't be doing your job properly. So you have more than one master, and you're pulled between them. Varnashram also, traditional varnashram, gives the opportunity for people to indulge or do things which are okay, they're scripturally sanctioned, they're okay, but we should remember that our varnashram is Krishnate Akhila Cheshta. Everything that we do is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So although within varnashram, it's not that everyone may be fully Krishna conscious and doing everything for Krishna, but there are certain rules that you have to follow according to your varna status, your varna and your ashram status. These things, so you can get away with things as long as you're within certain rules, but devotional service means you're not trying to get away with anything. You're simply trying to give everything to Krishna. It's not how far. Oh, what's the minimum I have to do to go back to Godhead? He asked that question. It's the wrong question. The question is, how can I give everything to Krishna? Let me give everything to Krishna. So that you can do anywhere. You can do it in India, you can do it in Timbuktu, you can do it anywhere. try and create the good atmosphere. Let's make the whole world India. Srila Prabhupada said that once also, in the sense that we want to, that Vedic culture, Krishna-based culture, let it be everywhere. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charkipas. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.